Okay, we start here on the top of Lamed Hayamud Aleph. We're continuing the question that was posed by Rabbi Yosef, which is the Riya Rishona Shel Mitzorah, first sighting of a Mitzorah, Maushi Tamei B'Masa. What's the din in terms of the emission that comes out, whether it has a din in Masa? Again, had he been Tahor the Gamre, and had a single emission, over there we'd have no question, because it has a din like Shechvat Zera, and it's only Mitamei B'Maga, not B'Masa. By the Riyashniya of a person who is Tahor, also no question that it is Mitamei B'Masa, because that's the din of the Zog that comes out from Riyashniya. Our question is, when you have a Mitzorah, who otherwise, his Mayanot are Mitamei B'Masa, irrespective of the Zav. Now he has a single emission, the first emission of a Zav. What's the status of that? Now that will depend. Depends why the Zav, or what the Zav is classified as. If the emission is classified as being Zav and Shechvat Zera, then it's in the world of Zav and Shechvat Zera, and has nothing to do with Mitzorah, it's only Tamei B'Maga. On the other hand, if the emission is classified as a Ma'ayan, which we know by Mitzorah, we've included already to say that any Ma'ayan by the Mitzorah, any liquid emission from a Ma'ayan, has the din of a Mitzorah. If we classify it as a Ma'ayan, then it'll be Mitamei B'Masa, because it's a Mayan of the Mitzorah. And that's the question that was posed by Rav Yosef. Whether the Riyah Rishona of a Mitzorah, does it have the properties of a Zav, which would be just Maga, or does it have properties of Mitzorah, which would be Tumat Masa as well? And that's what the Gemara is trying to discover here. So Rava gave the first answer, which is that we have Zovot Tamehu, the Meda Lazov Shu Tameh. He brings a pasuk to teach us that the Zov is Tameh. He says, I don't understand, why do you need that pasuk at all? If we know that the individual themselves becomes Tamei, or according to Tosafot, someone who carries a Zav becomes Tamei, then certainly the emission, the liquid that comes out, is Tamei. So obviously you don't need it for a regular Zav. What do you need it for? A Zav Mitzorah. Why do you need it for a Zav Mitzorah? By a Zav Mitzorah, you don't have this Kal V'Chomer. A Zav Mitzorah is already Tamei. So you can't say, oh, now if someone carries them, or now the individual themselves is Tamei, they are already Tamei. So then you don't have the Kal V'Chomer to make the Zov itself Tamei. So without that Kal V'Chomer, I need the Pasuk to teach me that the emission is Tamei, or Mitamei B'Masa. That's the second emission of the Mitzorah, will be Mitamei B'Masa. Where he says, well, if you need a Pasuk to teach you that, then you know for sure it's not classified as a Mayan. If it's classified as a Mayan, you wouldn't need a pasuk to teach you anything. It would automatically be included under the Mayanot of the Mitzorah. So if that's the case, I just proved to you that the Riyah Rishona of a Mitzorah is not Mitamei B'Masa, because it does not have a din of Mayan. So now on the fourth line down, Amar Rabbi Yehuda midiskitera the Rava. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Rava, I'm not sure that your diuk is right. Rimai. Maybe the pasuk is coming to teach us about a din of a Zav itself. Ugdamart, and your Kal V'Chomer, La'acherim gorei tum'ah le'atzmo lo koshikein, according to Rashi, that he himself can make tumat el-yono shel zav or masa, and therefore the zivah should certainly be tameh. According to Tosafot, if someone carries the zav, that they become tameh, certainly the liquid itself that's emitted should be mitameh b'masa. So here amishtaleach yuchiyach. We have cases where that's not true, that Kal V'Chomer doesn't hold up. Shugoreim tumat la'acherim, whoever works with the Seir Mishtaleach has Tumat Erev and Tumat Bigadim. They become Tamei. V'hu atzmo tahor. And the Seir Mishtaleach itself is Tahor because it's a live animal. Any live animal is not Mekabel Tumah. The only live being that is Mekabel Tumah is a human being. But otherwise, live animals cannot be Mekabel Tumah. So the Seir Mishtaleach itself is Tahor, yet it can be Goreim Tumah to other people. So let's say the same thing over here by the Zav. The Zav himself can, the liquid that's emitted by the Zav can cause Tumah. Either to the Zav himself, or to someone who carries the Zav according to Tosafot, but the liquid itself may not have a din of Tumah. So I need a pasuk to come and teach me the liquid itself is Tamei. So Rabbi Yehuda discords or rejects this proof of Rava. So Amar Abaye, Maiti Bayile. Why does Rabbi Yosef even have a question over here? Vahuda Amar, isn't he the one who said, in the previous conversation, Rav Yosef said, Zot Torat Azav Ben Gadol Ben Katan. That Azav, Zorat Azav tells me that whether it's a Gadol, whether it's a Katan, the Din Azav applies. If that's the case, Kevin de Nafkale Mehotom, if he learns it from there, Yayter Lei Lezachar, then he doesn't need the word Lezachar. Remember, the word Lezachar, when the Kevah, we darshin Zachar Mitzorah Lemaniotav, But if you're already learning out Zotarat Azab ben Gadol ben Katan from there, and not from Zachar ben Shu Gadol ben Shu Katan, the Rabot, that means it teaches us the Rabot Mitzorah l'mayin yotav, Nikeva, the Rabot Mitzorat l'mayin yotav, V'akshe Rachmana Mitzorah l'zav Gamur. And in that Pasuk, the Torah is Makish between the Mitzorah and its Mayanot and a Zav Gamur. Ma Zav Gamur mitabe b'masa, just like a Zav Gamur is mitabe b'masa, af riyah rishona shel mitzorah mitame b'masa. And that's the limud of Abaye. The limud of Abaye is that the way that the pasuk is structured, which is azov zavot lazachar lunikava, it's the last pasuk in the parsha there. The last pasuk in the parsha there talks about Zav beforehand, and then zachar nikeva. There's a hekesh between a full-fledged Zav, which is two riyot already, and mitzorah l'mayonotav. And what it's telling us is, whatever the mitzorah emits is going to have the same din as a zav b'ashtei riyot. And a zav b'ashtei riyot, the liquid that is emitted has a din of tumat masa. So to over here, the mitzorah, when it has an emission, whether it's a first or second emission, that liquid is going to have a din of tumat masa. Because he has the word zachar nekeva available to learn about mitzorah and mitzorat, because he learns out about a katan zav from zotarat zav. He doesn't need the word zachar to teach us ben gadol ben katan. We've had three different ways to learn out a katan zav. One way was ish ish. The other way was zachar unikeva, the zachar here. And the third way is zotarat zav. So depending which one of those you use, you'll have the others available for a limud. So he says, since already in the previous conversation, we already saw Zotarat Azav, Ben Gadol, Ben Katan, that's a limud, then Zachar Nekeva are available, that's available for the limud of Mitzorah, Mitzorat. Now Mitzorah, that's found in that pasuk, is Hukash to a Zav Bal Shtei Riot. And if that's the case, the Riot of a Mitzorah will have a din of a Zav Bal Shtei Riot, and because of that, even the Riyah Rishonah will be Mitamei B'Masa. Tosafot points out that we did use Zachar Nekeva before, for the issues of Bedam Tara Shul Mitzorat, that we used the Zachar Nekeva to learn that before, between the Machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, Bedam Tara Shul Mitzorat, that we use the difference, the extraneous Zachar Nekeva, so then he doesn't understand over here how we all of a sudden have this Zachar available to us because we need it over there. Tosafot leaves that as a tema that he's not sure. The Rabbi Kiva Eger says he doesn't understand Tosafot's question because they learned out of a different nature over here. One's learned out of the fact that Zachar teaches about Mayanot HaMitzorah, but then there's also the din of the Hekesh. So there are two different issues. One is the issue out of the word Zachar LeMayanot HaMitzorah, which is unnecessary in the face of Nekeva. And then you have the Hekesh between Zachar Mitzorah to Zav Bel Shteriot. And they're two different limudim, so he doesn't feel like it's a problem. Okay, now Amar Rav Huna. Huna makes a statement which is Ri'ah Rishona Shel Zav Mitama Be'onas. The first sighting of a Zav is mitama bonus, shenemar, zot torat azav, asher tzitzei mimeno shechvat zera. Ma shechvat zera mitame bonus, avriya rishona shel zav mitame bonus. So it doesn't matter how you have a sighting in the first part of the emissions of a Zav. Shechvat zera, a seminal emission, it's irrelevant how you have a seminal emission. If one has a seminal emission, whether it's intentional, whether it's unintentional, it does not matter. The person is tamei tumat erev. We know that the first Re'iyah of a Zav is Hukash to Shechvat Zera. So that first Re'iyah, Rav Huna claims, has the same din as Shechvat Zera, which is, it's irrelevant how you had the sighting. If you had the sighting, then you're automatically Tamei Tumat Erev, and it'll count as the first of your Re'iyot towards Zav. Now we know that when it comes to the regular Re'iyot of a Zav, it has to be that it's Mibzaro, that it came out of his Basar, and not because of an Onus. So there we know that it cannot be because of Onus. So the question is, in this first sighting, what's the din? In sighting number two, number three, already there we know that it can't be bonus. It's only this first one that's a possibility. Shneamar, how does he know this? Because it says, Zot Torat Azav Asher Tetzim Minach Shevet Zera Maz Shevet Zera Mitame Bonus Afriya Rishona Shozav Mitame Bonus. Since the header of Zot Torat Azav, and then afterwards it says, Vashir Tetzim Minach Shevet Zera. It's a subset of that parsha. So it teaches you that the Torat Azav includes the Shevet Zera, that first Re'iyah. Tashma, Ra Riyah Rishona, Butkinoto. He has the first sighting, we check him out. My love, what are you checking him for? love the tuma, you're checking him out whether that's a good enough sighting to make him tamei. Says lo li korban. That's in order to be mechayev him a korban. So the difference being that in the first sighting, a person is tamei tumat erev. Doesn't matter what the type of sighting is. Doesn't matter if onis not onis. Now, in order to count towards being a zav of two riyot or three riyot, what we're going to do here is bifurcate and say, if the sighting was bonus, it does not count towards those sightings that you need to get to number two and number three. On the other hand, in terms of tumah, you will be tamei tumat erev before that first sighting, even though it was onus. So it'll have two different dinim. The gabei tumah, it'll have a din that's a good, it's a sighting. The gabei korban, it won't count towards the count towards korban.
Where it says, no, the korban.
Correct.
The korban also includes
tumah. Right, but a korban only starts when you hit three riyot.
Okay.
But what it's saying is that to get to the number three, you'll have to have three riyot that were not were bonus.
Can't include
the first one, exactly. So tashma, it continues, vishni abud kimoto, you check them in the second one. Lamai, ilay melo korban aval the tumah lo. Wait a minute. If you want to say the same thing here in the second count, that it's for korban and not tumah, we already know from the second sighting onward, it has to be mibsaro and not mibonso. Cannot come from onus. So it has to be elalav lituma. So it has to be clear that you're checking not only for korban, but you're also checking for the count for tuma. Two sightings of a zav makes a zav tamei, and he has to wait shiva nikiim before he's tahor. Three sightings makes him chayav for shiva nikiim plus a korban. So it's clear here that in the second sighting, where we know it cannot be bonus, that it also has to be a check for tuma. Is he now tamei? We have to wait shiva nikiim or not? So me the seifa of the tuma, reishanami the tuma. If the seifa of that mishnah is talking about tuma, then certainly the reisha should also be done at a count for tuma. Mida yiriya, hakadita, vakadita. Each bidika is for whatever is relevant to that. Bidika in the first case is for the count towards korban, not for tuma. In the second count, it's also a check for not only korban, but also for tum'ah, tashma. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, af bishlishi budkim oto mipnei al korban. In the third one, we check him for the korban. Michlal, from that you would suggest that tanakama mipnei al tum'ah ka'amar. Well, if Rabbi Eliezer is saying in the third one, we check for the korban, which means that the tanakama who argues on Rabbi Eliezer also thinks you must be checking for something else as well. Michlal, the tanakama mipnei al tum'ah ka'amar. Well, the kuli alma the korban. They all agree that you're checking for the korban. V'hacha be'etim kamiflege. They argue in this word et. Rabbanan lo darshi etim. Rabbanan are not darish the word et. And Rabbi Eliezer is darish the word et darish etim. What is that? Rabbanan lo darshi etim. It says, hazav et zovo. So, hazav chada. Zovo tarte. So that's two riyot. Lizachar. So then it says for a zachar, bishlishi akshe rachmana l'nikeva. Because the pasuk goes as zavet zovo lizachar ulinikeva. So zav and zovo are two re'iyot. Then lizachar is the third re'iyah. But that already is ulinikeva. That's connected to the nikeva afterwards. Akshe rachmana l'nikeva. So therefore the first two re'iyot have a din like a zav. The third re'iyah has a din like a nikeva. What's the din of a nikeva? Ri'ah of a nikeva by dam, irrespective of how it comes out. Even bonus, she's teme'ah. When she's menstruating, we don't ask how it came out. If it comes out, she's teme'ah automatically. So what the Tanakhama says is by the first two ri'iyot, we do worry how it came out. By the third ri'iyah, then we don't worry about how it came out because it's hukash, the nikeva. Rebelezer, darshei 18. Hazav chada, et tarte, zovo tlat. Those are three ri'iyot that come beforehand, birivi, akshay rachmana the nikeva. Only on the fourth sighting is there a hekesh to the nikeva. Meaning that for the first three riyot, it cannot be onus. A field of onus. Even if it's an onus in that fourth riyah, not the inyan tuma, because he's already tameh. That has no question about it, because the inyan tuma, he already had to have two sightings, not bonus, in order to get to the level of tuma. But the korban, once you pass number three sighting, if your fourth sighting already is bonus, that will undermine the shiva nikiim that you had. So in order to undermine the shiva nikiim, you don't have to have a sighting that is a regular sighting, but even a sighting that is bonus will undermine your shiva nikiim. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, you already had the first two have to be not bonus, and number three also has to not be bonus. So in order to be chayav in terms of korban, we need it to be not bonus. So what's rivi'i? Rivi'i means if you start to count your shiva nikiim, and then you have a sighting bonus, it will be okay, the shiva nikiim. As opposed to the Tanakama or the Rabbanon, who said even on the third sighting, right, then you can have a sighting that is bonus, which means that for them, in terms of Tumah to come Tameh, you have to have two sightings that are not bonus. But the third sighting, then already that's Hukash Lenikeva. And because of that, you can have the Korban come about, even if the third sighting is Be'onis, and that will be Mevi Otoli De Korban. So again, we don't have a proof to Rav Huna's position. Right. Tumah, we don't have any proof. This is all about how you get to the Korban. In number three, the number three sighting, what type of Dikah do you need? According to Rabbi Lez, you have to be Bokeh for the Korban. It cannot be Be'onis to come to a Korban. According to the Chachamim, it could be that the third one is bonus, and that makes you Chayav in Korban. So the distinction between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim is not in the first Ri'iyah, it's in the third Ri'iyah. In the third Ri'iyah, can you become Chayav in a Korban if it's a Ri'iyah bonus? Rabbi Lezer says no, and the Chachamim say yes. And all this has to do with how you darsh in the Pasuk at the end of Parshat Zav. Right, Tashma. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, halo Zav bichlal balkeri haya. Velama yatsa. A Zav has the same din as a Balkeri. I mean, the first Ri'iyah is like a Balkeri. Lama yatsa, la'kel alav, u'la'achmir alav. And it has in two directions. La'kel alav, she'ein mitameh bonus. The kula here is that it's not mitameh bonus, which is against what Rav Huna said. U'la'achmir alav, the chumra is, she'u osim mishkav u'moshav. A Zav, as opposed to Sheikh Lazera, has a din of mishkav u'moshav, that is mitameh mishkav u'moshav to be mitameh achirim. Adam and Kelim, and he makes them into an Avatuma, unlike that person who has a seminal mission. Eimat, what are you talking about over here? Ileima b'riyashnia. If you're talking about the second sighting, heichav b'chlal Balkeri. What does that have to do with Balkeri? Seminal mission is only the first Ri'iyah. It's not the second Ri'iyah. Elabshita b'riyah rishona. We're talking about the first Ri'iyah. Viktoni, lahakel alav. She'eno mitamei bonus, which is exactly what we're looking for. With that, you're not mitamei bonus. That's against Rav Huna's position. But then Gemara says, with this, bro, that makes no sense. Why? How could you say this? Achmir alav shose mishkav u'moshav b'riya rishona? Moshav? B'riya rishona bar mishkav u'moshavu? You're not chayav v'mishkav u'moshav. You cannot make tumat, ava tumah, with mishkash u'moshav with one sighting. You need a minimum of two sightings, because the parsha of Zav begins with two sightings, three sightings, and then gives you a list of all the tumot. And there, the tumot of mishkav u'moshav are related to the second sighting, not to the first sighting. Halachi gamar, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, halo zav bichlal balkeri haya biriyah rishona, vilama yatsa biriyah shnia. Yes, so a zav was like a balkeri in the first riyah. So why in the second riyah does its din change? Lakelolav lachmirlav, to change the din in two ways. One is lakelolav shenu mitameh bonus. In the second time, the signing cannot be bonus, as opposed to the first time. Lachmirlav shosim mishkav u'moshav. At the second sighting, he also is mitameh mishkav u'moshav. That wasn't true in the first sighting. So again, not a proof against Rav Huna, must they prove for Rav Huna? Because now we're saying that the first sighting is like that of a Balkeri. If it's like a Balkeri, then it would be Tameh, even bonus. And that's why the second sighting is different. And this is somewhat of a proof to what Rav Huna said. Basically, if you read Rav Yitzchak this way, it turns out to be somewhat of a proof to Rav Huna, but it's clearly not a proof against Rav Huna's position. Then Amar Rav Huna Zov, the emission of a Zav, Domeh, Lebei Batzek Shel Seorim. It's like the water of barley dough. The water that's mixed in with the barley dough, that's the coloration of the Zov. Zov Babi Masar HaMeit. It comes from an Aver that is not erect. Sheikh Vazer, on the other hand, Babi Masar Chai, comes from an Aver that is erect. And Zov is Diha, is watery. V'dome L'lovin Beitza Muzeret. And it's similar to the white and an egg that cannot produce a chick, in an unfertilized egg. Sheikh Vazer, on the other hand, is kshura, is viscous. V'domeh l'lovin beitza she'ena muzeret. And it's similar to the white of an egg that is fertilized, or that can produce a chick. The Gemara here is trying to describe between the two Zav and Keri, what's the difference between them? How do you know if you have had a sighting of Keri, or if you have had a sighting of Zav? So here the Gemara is giving definitions to the emission, the liquid emission that you would expect to find in the case of a Zov and in the case of Keri. Alright, Dama Yoledet Shalotavla. In the Mishnah we spoke about a case of a Yoledet who doesn't go to the mikveh after her 7 days of Tumah, after her 14 days of Tumah. And then there was a machlok between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel as to the status of the dam that she emits at that point in time. Beit Shammai says the dam that she emits at that time has the same din as Rok, and Meimei Ragleha, that it's only Mitamei Lach and not Yavesh. Whereas Beit Hillel believes that the dam that she emits at that point has full-fledged tumah, like tumat nida, and it's mitameh both da'lach and yavesh. So now the Gemara says, Tanya, Amru lehen Beit Hillel the Beit Shammai, iyatem modim bin nida shalu tavla, the nida did not go to the mikveh, v'ratah dam, and now she sees dam, she tmeah, that dam has a full-fledged din of dam nida. Amru lehen Beit Shammai, lo, ima martem bidina shafilu tavla, v'ratah tmeah. That's not true. By a nida, even if she went to the mikveh and then saw dam again, she'd be tmeah. That dam would have a status of dam zava, and it would be tmeah lach v'yavesh. Had she gone to the mikveh, virata, and had a sighting afterwards, she Torah. Had she gone to the mikveh, she's already in her days of Tohar. If she's in her Dam Tohar state, then the Dam that she sees after the mikveh would have been Tohar. So Beit Shammai says the cases are not comparable. So Amar lehen, Yoledet Bezov Tochiach. Beit Hillel says back to Beit Shammai, wait, what happens if she gives birth? Bezov Tochiach, Shim Tavla. Even if she goes to the mikveh v'ratah and then sees a riyah after she's gone to the mikveh, v'ratah l'achar yimei sriyah Torah. Even though she sees it after her shivanikim, if she has a sighting then she's Torah, nevertheless, lo tavla, had she not gone to the mikveh v'ratah, tmeyah, and she sees it, she's still tmeyah. And we know in the Mishnah, Beit Shammai agrees to Beit Hillel in that case, that they are tmeim. So Beit Hillel says back to Beit Shammai, your proof to the fact that after someone goes to the mikveh, then their dam is tahor, proves that if they don't go to the mikveh, then the dam doesn't have a full status of nida, falls apart. Because I have a case here where if you're yoledet bizov, and then you count your shivanikim and your tahor, then the blood that you see afterwards is tahor. Yet, even you agreed with us that if you don't go to the mikveh, and she's yoledet bizov, the dam that she sees is dam nida, full-fledged dam nida. So Amar lehen, hu adin, v'yatshuva, says, no, you're wrong. The din that you're saying by Yoledet Bezov is not right. Beit Shammai says, we disagree in that case. By the case of Yoledet Bezov, even if she's Yoledet Bezov, she doesn't go to the mikveh, the dam that she sees is not dam nida. So Gemara asks right away, what do you mean? The memra de plige? To say that Beit Shammai argues on Beit Hillel in that case, v'atanan, the last line in our Mishnah. Umodim b'yoledet bezov, she mitma lach v'yavesh. Beit Shammai agrees with Beit Hillel in that case that they are mitma lach v'yavesh. There's a difference whether she counted shivanikim or didn't count shivanikim. So Beit Shammai will say, if she's Yoledet Bezov, case where she was a Zava and then she had a Leida, she now finished up her days of Tuma, 7 days for Zachar, 14 days for Nekeva. If at that point she does not go to the Mikveh, then the Dam that she sees at that point is Tameah according to everyone. It's Tameah, Tumat Nida, Lach V'Yavesh, even according to Beit Shammai. If at that point she counts Shiva Nikiim, 7 days of Nikiim, and then she has a sighting. At that point, now you have a machlok between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Because the Shiva Nikiim, according to Beit Shammai, says she's now, whatever she sees is Dam Tohar. And therefore, any blood that she sees only has a din of emission from the woman, not a din of Nida. And therefore, it'll have a din of just Lach and not Yavesh. Whereas according to Beit Hillel, since she has yet to go to the mikveh, it'll have a din of Dam Nida, Lach and Yavesh. She'll be mitameh. Based on that, the statement of Beit Shammai back to Beit Hillel is, Beit Hillel, you want to prove to us from Yoledet Bezov that afterwards she is Tahor, yet beforehand she is Tameah. I disagree, beforehand she's also Tahor. And that's what Beit Shammai says, that if she counted her Shiva Nikim and didn't go to the mikveh, no chanami, she would be Torah. So that's the answer of Beit Shammai back to Beit Hillel, and based on that, Beit Hillel's proof is not a good proof, and Beit Shammai, their position is premised on the fact that if the sighting afterwards would be Tahor, then the sighting before is also Tahor. If the sighting afterwards is Tmeah, then the sighting before is also Tmeah. Va'atanyo. And this is Tanya ben Ichuta, a brighter that supports that understanding. Yoledet bezov shesafra velo tavla. A woman who gives birth bezov and counts shivanikim velo tavla, and then she does not go to the mikveh, virata, and then has a sighting. Alchu Beit Shammai l'shitatan. Beit Shammai subscribes to their position, which means that it's not Dam Nida, it's only Mitamei Lach and not Yavesh. Beit Hillel l'shitatan, that it's a problem, and therefore it's Mitamei Lach v'Yavesh as a Dam Tumat Nida. So you see that Beit Shammai, in some instances of Yoledet Bezov, is Mitaher, the sighting afterwards, and that's a case where she already had the Shivanikim, or she already counted Shivanikim, even though she didn't go to the Mikveh. Now Itmar, we're going back to a machloka that we saw earlier in the Masechta and Daf Yudalev between Rav and Levi. Rav Amar Mayan Echadu, Batorat Timato, Batorat Te'arato, that there is only one Mayan. There's only one location or source for the Dam of the Isha. The Torah says for the first 7 days by Zachar it's Tameh, And by the next 33 days, it's tor. By the nekeva, the first 14 days, it's tamei. By the next 66 days, it's tor. It's all from the same source. It's just like zerat ha-katuv. That's the din of the dam. But levi amar shnei mayonotim. There are actually two sources of the dam. Nistem ha-tamei. Once the tamei seals up, niftach tahor. Then the tahor one opens up. Nistem ha-tor. After the days of tara, that one seals up again, and niftach ha-tamei. They source from different places, and therefore they're different natures. The dam has a different nature. My ben ayu. What's the nafka mean between them? Ikamenayu shofat. The difference between them is if she has a continuous flow. Now this can happen in a number of manifestations. That's what the Gemara is about to explain here. Mitoch shiva la'achar shiva. If she's flowing by a zachar from before 7 days through the 7 days and afterwards, or mitoch arbasar la'achar arbasar, or she's flowing directly from before the 14 days of Tumah to afterwards by a nekeva. In that case, Rav will say the dam that she sees after day 14 or after day 7 is tahor. Doesn't matter. That's a gzerat ha-katuv. Whatever dam you see after these days is tahor. Doesn't matter that she's continuously flowing through. On the other hand, for Levi, you have to have some sort of siman that the tamei mayan closed up. So there has to be some cessation of the dam in order to say that the tamei seized up, or is now sealed, and the tahor is opened up. But here she didn't have that. So therefore, the blood that flows after day 7 and 14 will still be tamei, because you didn't have any cessation of the flow. And the same thing is true later on. If at the end of the 40 days, by the zachar, meaning she had 33 days of tara, she continues to flow after day 40, or for a nekeva, after the 66 days of tara, meaning after day 80, since she's given birth, then she continues to flow straight through to day 81. So there, again, you have an afkamina, because for Rav, it doesn't matter. She stopped, the day came, the next day, she's tamei. That's what the Torah says. After day 80, after day 40, you have a sighting, you're tamei. So that is tamei. According to Levi, again, you'll have to have some sort of cessation of the flow in order to indicate that the mayonot have switched. So here you have a mayan tahor. There was no stopping. There's no stopping. Even the dam she sees after day 40 and 80 is still tahor until we have some sort of break in the flow. So that's the Gemara explains what I just said. The Gemara is going to say, the Rav, the Rachel, the Kula, the Seif, the Chumra. According to Rav, the case by the 7 and the 14 goes the Kula. By the 40 and the 80 goes the Chumra. And by Levi, it's the opposite. The Rachel is the Chumra. By the 7 and the 14, it'll go the Chumra. And the Seif, by the 40 and 80, it'll go the Kula. Meitave. Dam a yoledet shelo tavla. Blood of a yoledet who did not go to the mikveh after day 7, after day 14. Bejama yomim kiroka ukameme ragla. The dam has a status like any other liquid she emits. Bedilal omim mitamei lach viyavesh. Bedilal says that it's mitamei lach viyavesh. It's full-fledged dam nida. Kasavka datcho, we're thinking now, the pascha. There was a cessation in the flow of blood. So bishlam al rab damar mayan echadu. According to Rab who says it's one mayan, mishumachi mitamei lach viyavesh. Therefore, according to Beit Hillel, it's mitamei lach viyavesh, because it's all one mayan. It's still the same blood that we were talking about before. El Levi damar shnei mayotim. According to Levi who says that when you have a cessation, it means, or it's an indication of the fact that we moved over to the tahor source, amai mitamei lach viyavesh. Why does Beit Hillel say that the blood is tamei? It's a different blood. It's coming from a totally different place. Amar lecha Levi, achabai skina b'shofat. No, the case here in our mission is a case where she flows straight through from day 7 into day 8, and day 14 into day 15. So that's why Beit Hillel continues to say that blood that she emits is tamei lach viyavesh, because there was no cessation of the mayan tamei. Ibi shofat, if that's the case, my time the Beit Shammai. What's Beit Shammai going to hold according to Levi? If she's flowing all the way through, she never switched over to the mayan tahor. Why would Beit Shammai say it's not dam nida over here? Kasari Beit Shammai, mayan echadu. Beit Shammai disagrees on that point. Meaning that according to Levi, the machlok between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is exactly that. Whether it's one mayan or two mayanot. Shofat, it's flowing blood straight through from day 7 to 8 or day 14 into 15. According to Beit Hillel, it's two mayanot, since there was no cessation in the dam, that's still dam nida that's flowing over here. According to Beit Shammai, they hold like Rav, which is a mayan echad, and therefore even though you flowed straight through from 7 to 8 or 14 to 15, it's now tahor, because it has nothing to do with the mayan switching. It has to do with gzeirat ha-katuv. Whenever you move on to the next day, then it's dam tahor. That's how Levi will explain the machloket. Bishlam Levi, Ainu Dika Ben Beit Shammai de Beit Hillel. That's the machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, the Rav Ma Bein Ayu. What's the machloket according to Rav? The difference between them is, what do you need to become tahor? Beit Shammai savri ben yomei tali rachmono. Everybody agrees it's a mayan echad, and Beit Shammai says it's all about the days. When you pass day number 7, you pass day number 8, anything you see after that is tahor. That's what the Torah says. It's got to do with the days, nothing to do with the mikveh. Once you crossed over day 7 and day 8, the dam could be tahor. That's assuming that the woman went to the mikveh. But she didn't go to the mikveh, it's not tahor. So the machloket is, do you require it to be la or do you not require it to be la? Everybody agrees you require the passing through day 7 to 8 or day 14 to 15. It's a mayan echad, it would be tahor as long as she goes to the mikveh according to Beit Hillel, according to Beit Shammai, it's tahor, period. I mean, not tahor, the gamre, it's tahor from being dam nidah. Now it becomes like rok o me ragleha. Tashma. Modim b'yoledim b'zov she'im tamal lach v'yavesh. They both agree, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that if she's yoledim b'zov, then if she continues to see dam after she is already in the days of tohar, that dam is still tamay lach v'yavesh, meaning that she has a din like nidah. It's a case again where there was a cessation of the flow. So Bishlam other Rav Damar Mayan Echadu, according to Rav, says it's one Mayan Mishumachi Metame Lach V'Yavesh. That's why you're Metame Lach V'Yavesh. Because the Hefsek makes no difference. Just because you had a Hefsek doesn't change the fact that she still needs Shiva Nikiim and that she's Yoledet B'Zov. According to Levi, that you're talking about two Mayanot, two sources for the Dam, the Dam that she sees after day 7 or after day 14 is coming from a different place. If you had a cessation of the first flow, then the second flow is completely Tahor. If it's completely Tahor, then why should it be Tamei Lach V'Yavesh? Levi again says the cases where it's flowing straight through from day 7 into day 8, and day 14 into day 15. If it's flowing straight through, then what do you need it to tell us? That Beit Shammai agrees. What do you have to tell? Everybody would agree. When it's a case of Shofat, everybody agrees when you flow straight through that, of course she's Tmeah. She was never Tahor from the time of her being a Zava Gedola. So the Beit Shammai Yitzrich, we need it for Beit Shammai. The Avagam to come Beit Shammai Mayan Echadu, even though according to Levi, that Beit Shammai holds that it's a Mayan Echad, Ubiyomei Tala Rachmana, and it only has to do with the days, nothing else. Hani Mili Biyoledet Great, that's only true when it's a, just a Yoledet. Dishlimala Yomei, because her days are completed. After day 7, she's done with her Tuma. After day 14, she's done with her Tuma. So you hit day 8, day 15, it's Dam Tohar. Aval Yoledet Bezolved by Yisfira, lo. But a Yoledet B'Zov requires another 7 days afterwards to make her Tahor. In Ochanami, if you count those 7 days and she has no sighting during those 7 days, the dam she sees afterwards will be Tahor. We saw that in Beit Shammai before. Beit Shammai says that after you count the Shiva Nikim, you don't have to go to the mikveh. In Ochanami, if she got through all the days she needed to get to and then had a sighting of blood, in Ochanami, that Beit Shammai would say that that dam is only Metamei Lach and not Yavesh. The problem is that we're talking about here before she's counted her Shiva Nikim. And therefore, that's why we need this statement. But Shammai agrees, in that case, even though it's Mayan Echad, since she has yet to counter Shivani Kiim, she still has a status of Zavah Gedola. So Tashma. So it says by a Yoledet, that the din of a Yoledet, in the first 7 days, her sighting of blood, to Nidat Dvota Titma, that her status is like that of a Nida. And now the Gemara says that these words of Dvota Titma is extraneous. Because it already says that she's going to be 7 days bitumah, she'll be like a nida. What do you need? Dvota titma. So the Gemara says that comes to Rabot et Bola. Number one, to include someone who sleeps with her. Just like someone who sleeps with a nida has a tumat bo'el nida. So to over here, someone who sleeps with a yoledet has a din of a bo'el nida. Dvota titma, the Rabot halelot. To say, not only is it yamim during the day, but it's also at night. Because over there it talks about her yamim and not at night. So therefore it says it includes even nights. The rabat ha-yoledet b'zov should tzrichah she'tesheh shiva yamim nikiim. The last thing it comes to include is that if she's yoledet b'zov, she's not automatically b'dam tohar when she crosses over day 7 or day 14. She has to count shiva nikiim in order to become or reach the point of dam tohar. So bishlam other rav. According to Rav, Damar Mayan Echadu Mishumachi by Shiva Yamim Nikiim. That I understand why you need Shiva Nikiim, because that's what the Torah says. It's all one Mayan. The Torah tells us what's Tohar, what's Tamei. It tells us first 7 days Tamei, first 14 days Tamei. It tells us that a Zava also has to wait 7 Nikiim until her Dam is Tahor. So all of these things have to meet the requirements in order to reach the point where the Dam is Tahor. So I understand why you need Shiva Nikiim. Elo the Levi, Damar Shnei Mayanotim, according to Rav Levi, who says that there are actually two separate Mayanot, Lama Li Shiva. Why do you need Shiva Nikiim? Be Mashu Sagya. It should be enough with the mashu. If you have a mashu, then you switch from the mayan tameh to mayan tor. Why should it matter about shivinikim anymore? Shivinikim are not relevant. Sachikamar. Tzricha shetifsok mashu shealula l'shivinikim. In Ochanami, lady says, she doesn't have to wait the full 7 days, but rather, she needs to have a cessation of the blood for a moment in order that she switches over to the mayan tor. And if she does that, that's the equivalent of having her shivinikim. And once she has that, it's equivalent to she had shinikim, and now whatever dam she sees at this point will be dam ha-toar, because it's coming from the mayan ha-tahor. Okay, we'll stop over here.